What does the Bible say about homosexuality? This is tender ground, and someone you love may be reading over your shoulder. Let's open the book slowly, honestly, and with care. Before we open a single verse, if you are reading this, there is a real chance it is not abstract for you. Maybe it is about you. Maybe it is about your brother, your friend, your daughter, someone whose face you can see right now. So before we touch a verse, one thing has to be said plainly. You are made in the image of God, and you are loved. That is not a debate point. That is the ground we stand on. The Bible can be picked up like a weapon, and people have been hurt that way, often the young, often the scared. We are not going to do that here. We are going to be a librarian, not a judge. We will lay out what the texts say, show you the original words honestly, and hand you the pen. Scripture is meant to be read on your knees, not swung like a club. A few short texts carried a long way. Only a handful of passages speak directly to this, and they have been carried a very long way through history. Let's look at them as they are. The two clearest lines in the Old Testament come from Israel's holiness laws. Leviticus 18 verse 22. The verse most people reach for first, and the one whose key Hebrew word carries more debate than English readers usually realize. Leviticus 20 verse 13. A parallel command in the same law code, using the same loaded Hebrew word, which we'll look at closely below. In the New Testament, Paul writes two list verses and one longer passage. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 to 10. A list of those who will not inherit the kingdom, containing two Greek words that scholars genuinely argue over. 1 Timothy 1 verse 10. Repeats one of those rare Greek words in a list of behaviors contrary to sound teaching. Romans 1 verses 26 to 27. The longest passage, set inside a larger argument about idolatry, using a phrase, contrary to nature, that Christians read in more than one way. The Hebrew word everything in Leviticus turns on. In English, Leviticus 18 verse 22 lands like a verdict, abomination. But the Hebrew word underneath is doing something more specific, and it matters. Hebrew, toiva. A detestable thing, an abomination. The same word also tags idolatry, dishonest scales, Proverbs 11 verse 1, and certain foods, so Christians debate whether it marks a timeless moral line or a covenant slash ritual boundary. Notice what that opens up. Toiva is not a rare word reserved for one sin. The Old Testament uses it for cheating someone with a crooked scale, for idol worship, for foods Israel was told to avoid. So sincere readers ask an honest question. Is Toiva here drawing a moral line that holds for all people in all times, or is it marking a boundary that set Israel apart under the Old Covenant? That is not a trick question, and it is not a dodge. It is the actual debate. Reading the English alone hides it. Reading the Hebrew surfaces it. Two Greek words Paul's readers would have heard differently than we do. Paul's lists are where the translation puzzles get sharpest, because one of his words appears to be brand new. Greek, arsenokoitai, a compound of male plus bed. Paul seems to have coined it, likely echoing the Greek wording of Leviticus 18 verse 22, because it is so rare, its exact scope is genuinely debated. When a writer invents a word, later readers have to work hard to recover what he meant by it. Some scholars hear arsenokoitai as a broad term for male same-sex activity, built straight out of the Leviticus language. Others argue it points to a narrower, exploitative practice common in Paul's world. The word is rare enough that honest people land in different places. The word paired with it is even slipperier. Greek, malakoi. Literally soft. Used elsewhere for soft clothing or weakness of character, its range is wide, so what Paul targets here is debated. Soft could mean many things in Greek, luxury, self-indulgence, a lack of moral backbone, and translators have rendered malakoi in strikingly different ways across the centuries. That range is exactly why faithful scholars disagree about its meaning here. When the word itself is contested, humility is not weakness, it is honesty. Romans, and the phrase contrary to nature. Romans 1 is the longest passage, and it sits inside a bigger argument. Paul is describing what happens when people turn from God to idols and the disordering that follows. Greek, paraphysin. Contrary to slash against nature. Christians debate whether Paul describes orientation as understood today or specific exploitative and idolatrous practices of his world. So the question readers wrestle with is this. When Paul says contrary to nature, is he speaking about same-sex attraction as we frame it today, or about specific practices tied to idol worship and excess in first century Rome? Where you locate the passage changes a great deal, and thoughtful Christians locate it differently. Two readings, both held by people who love the Bible. Here is the part that matters most to say carefully. The Christians on each side of this are not divided into those who take the Bible seriously and those who don't. Sincere, prayerful, Bible-loving believers read these same texts and reach different conclusions. The traditional slash historic reading. These texts prohibit same-sex sexual activity as outside God's design. This camp reads Leviticus as a moral boundary, hears arsenokoitai as broad, and points to Genesis 1-2 and Jesus' words on marriage in Matthew 19 verses 4-6 as the pattern for sexuality. The affirming slash revisionist reading. These texts address specific ancient practices, temple prostitution, pederasty, exploitation, excess, not committed, covenanted same-sex relationships. This camp reads Toiva as a covenant boundary, hears the rare Greek words as narrow, and holds that the modern question simply isn't in Paul's view. Both camps are reading the same pages. Both are trying to be faithful. The honest thing is to let you see that the disagreement is real, not to pretend it away in either direction. So where does that leave you? It leaves the pen in your hand, where it belongs. You have now seen the actual verses, the Hebrew word toiva that the English flattens, the rare Greek words arsenokoitai and malakoi that scholars still argue over, and the phrase paraphysin that Romans hangs on. You have seen the two readings laid side by side. What you have not been given is a verdict, because that is not ours to hand you, and because the people this question touches are not a topic. They are beloved. Whatever you conclude as you keep reading, do not let it cost anyone their dignity. Christ welcomed the people the religious crowd shooed away. That welcome is not the thing in dispute here. Read these passages in full. Sit with them in prayer. And bring them to a pastor who actually knows you and will walk with you, not a stranger on the internet, and not a verse used as a weapon. Examine for yourself. Read these passages in their full context, pray over them honestly, and bring your questions to a pastor or church community who knows and loves you. The Bereans examine the scriptures for themselves. Acts 17 verse 11, you are allowed to do the same. And whatever you are carrying as you read, you are made in God's image and you are loved.